This is Thoughts Become Things. With each episode, we'll help you reach the highest creative potential that God has for you. With your host, a teacher, life coach, a dream coach, and motivational speaker, Jeremy Lopez.
Hello again, everyone, and welcome to another exciting podcast of Thoughts Become Things. I'm Jeremy Lopez, and so glad and honored to be with you guys today. Looking forward to seeing what we're going to talk about and just dive into today. I'm excited about it because I've got some a lot of juicy things going over in my mind, you know, and I want to talk today about your church agreement. Now, you might say, my church agreement, what does that mean? I wanted to give a catchy title because I felt like many of you will be inquisitive enough to want to listen to this. Because when we talk about my church agreement, what we're talking about is the difference between being in church, being out of church, and knowing what's being said, and what do we do with that? You know, we're told so many times when we get into church, we have this sort of mental, spiritual block that we can say against the world when we get in church. Looking at it as a safe haven, looking at the four walls, you know, as I'm where I need to be, I want to be, I love this presence, I love the, you know, worship, I love the teaching, like this is my family. And so we tend to feel very comfortable, but also very confident in church. You ever notice that? You ever notice people that get in church, especially in the charismatic Pentecostal world, they get all excited and, you know, they hoop and holler, which is great because, I mean, hey, I'd love to get excited too, but they get all excited because they feel like the best of them, the real version of themselves can really come out and like shine forth and just be present and like, here I am, you know, like I can show my true colors. And the truth of the matter is we get so comfortable in that type of environment that we sort of let our hair down, so to say, and we give it our all. We're really where we want to be. We love it. We love the presence of God. But the church agreement is something that we have to think mentally that we make inside of our own spirit to say, my agreement is in this place that whatever is told to me by the pastor, in other words, let's just say good teachings, whatever shared with me is knowing that I've got to do this. Like, you know, you should go out into all the world. You know, you should, you know, walk this extra mile for people and serve people. And we're all like, yes, amen. Praise God. This is awesome. But we never stop to realize that mentally we're speaking out of a church agreement mentality. Think about that. We're speaking out of a church agreement mentality because we agree at that moment that's what we're going to do. We agree in that moment this is what we're going to say because we're speaking out of this agreement that we sort of subconsciously are making of what I'm told to do in my life. I'm going to find out right here in this place what to do. And that's great and wonderful and so true. However, we also find ourselves, you know, at the place where we're heightened, we're confident, we're bold, and so we're going to agree to whatever it is, you know, that the teaching and what's been shared to us, and we should. That's great. But the key thing is what happens is then we leave that place, and then we go into the world, we get into our jobs, we go back to our families, our neighborhoods, and then all of a sudden, mentally, we have that block against everything around us, and we feel as if everything is anti. We feel like everything's our enemy. Everything is going to try to hurt us, harm us, sabotage us. And so what we do is we put this mental block up to everyone around us and everything around us and not realizing we're doing it because we realize at that moment, I can't really be free to be who I need to be. I can't say what I really want to say because, you know, but I can't wait to get back to the house of God. I look forward to Sundays. And so we make this mental block from this church agreement mentality that we're constrained. We are being held back to speak and to share and to serve and to love. And if you think about it psychologically, when we get home and we don't realize we're doing it, but we shut down the very thing that we agree to. We shut down the very servanthood that we hear from the pulpit, and we shut ourselves down and just feel, you know what? Yeah, I'm supposed to do that here in the world, quote unquote. And so we take on this negative feeling and feel like, you know, well, you know, it's going to be work and it's going to be hard to do, and I got to serve and I got to love and I got to do all this against people who hate me, against people who want to, you know, shut me down. Let me share something with you guys if I can, okay? And I want to say this really just to where it as blunt as I can, because I want to be able to open your ears and eyes to the truth of the matter. And that is this. Not everybody's out to destroy you. Not everybody's out to hurt you. Not everybody's out to harm you. You know, the world doesn't get together and have this big meeting in this sort of like AA meeting, and they decide, hey, who of you have Christian friends? Okay, I want you to target them, beat them down, tear them down, you know, get this antichrist mentality. Let me tell you something. If you think about it, that's what we feel, and that's why we get, whether it's politics or government or, you know, we hear about, you know, all these things that are very, you know, conspiracy theories. And so all of a sudden, we leave that building and we think, I'm walking into the, you know, the den of thieves, the den of lions, you know, they're going to consume me, devour me. That's not true, folks. If that was the truth, then why didn't Jesus speak on that more often? Hello? Why didn't Jesus say, hey guys, when you go on your job, you're going to be tormented for the kingdom's sake. Everybody's going to hate you. No, everybody's out to get you, right? You know, NASA's all lying to you. You know, the earth is really flat. You know what I mean? I mean, you know, we get this impression that we feel as if, you know, that when we leave church and this church agreement mentality that we've made and not realizing we made it, then we get into the place of, I got to plow the ground, plow the field, hard work. Everybody's going to begin to me. And yet the truth is that's not true, because Jesus never said anything about the world. Hello. I mean, he said, look, there's going to be sick among you, right? So he even mentioned, you're going to have sick people among you. He didn't say, these sick people are going to try to make you sick. They're going to try to destroy you. They're going to try to hurt you. You got to keep on binding and loosing. And he didn't get all charismatic, crazy mania on us, okay? You know, the things that we believe that's really not biblical. You know, he didn't do that. He said, look, here's the deal. You're always going to have sick among you. And then he just moved on with his conversation. And basically what he was saying is, look, you're going to have a sick among you. You're going to have a poor among you. You know, in other words, they're going to react and respond the way that they do. You know, when people, let's say, for example, are sick, they're going to respond to a place of desperation because they're going to be healed and be made whole. That's reality. When someone's down, the Bible says that the strong bears forth the weak, right? You know, when you have poor people around you, for example, they might ask you for money, or they might say, you know, well, everybody, you know, everybody has money but me. You know, I wish I had what you had. You know, they're going to talk the poverty mentality mindset that they have, right? And so it doesn't mean they're anti against you. They hate you. If I'm sick, you need to be sick too. Ah, you know, I'm poor. I'm going to destroy you, you know, because you've got money. I mean, they're not going to do that. I mean, Jesus made it plain that, you know what? The poor and the sick, they're going to be among you. So they're going to respond the way they're going to respond. They're going to talk the way they talk because they're speaking out of a pain or a brokenness or a desperate desire to have more or to be healthy, right? And so he didn't sort of set this big stage of like, but they're going to run this conspiracy theory camp that's going to be after you, and they're going to try to destroy you, you know. And he just basically said, they're going to, you know, basically what he's saying is they're among you is they're going to think the way that they think. Just, you need to get used to that. And people in this world, all of us, we're going to speak out of our hurt, out of our pain, out of our desperation. So truly, I'm no different. Many of you are going to, this is going to be a trigger for many of you as Christians. I'm no different than the world in how I think. Because when I am hurt, I will cry too. Just like the heathen, just like, that's a crazy word, I know, but I mean, it's true. You know, we don't use it today, you know, in today's language, but biblically, that's what they call them, you know, or the Buddhist or the Hindu. When someone falls off their tricycle, bicycle, get in a car wreck, guess what? When you're in pain, I'm going to cry like they're going to cry. There's not a Christian cry and a Buddhist cry or a heathen cry. When someone breaks up with me, hurts my heart, I'm going to cry. I'm going to be broken. I'm going to be in pain just like anybody else would. There's not a different pain for rejection that the Buddhists feel, or the Hindu, or the atheist, or the crazy partier, or the one that's painting town red, right? I mean, we all feel the same exact way. The only difference is I am called to speak and to think out of the mind of Christ, that there is hope for me to rescue me out of this pain. What I'm called to do is to recognize that what makes me different is, yes, I'm forgiven. Yes, we get that. But what caused me to be different is there's actually hope I can call upon. That's it, folks. There's hope to call upon. There's love I can call upon. that this person named Jesus is real to me and he sticks closer to me than a brother. So the understanding is that we all feel the exact same thing. So it's not like the world is sitting here plotting to destroy you. One of the things I've realized in my life is this. A lot of times when people move in conspiracy theories and sort of that sort of vein of the world's going to kill me, hurt me, it's almost like they all get together in this meeting, they want to sabotage me. You know, so unhealthy thinking. It's so not true. And that's why Jesus never spoke on that. Because one thing he did speak on was the religious spirit. He was so hard and rough on the religious system because it is the traditions that make the word of God of none effect. Not the world, not your made up conspiracy theories, not that, you know, those hold no power against the word of God. None. That's why he never spoke on it. He's like, you know, and his mentality today with you would be, why are you creating power where power doesn't exist? Hello? Why are you creating power and energy where it does not exist? Stop creating it. You're creating a monster, not the world is. You're creating the monster. Because Jesus made it plain, the world is not my enemy. He says, you're going to live in the world, okay? You're going to be in the world, but you don't have to be of it. Because the world doesn't know about hope and joy and grace and going the extra mile. Your powerful tools is not anti against the world. Your powerful tools is serving people and not serving the body of Christ. You do serve the body of Christ, but you serve humanity. Serve humanity. In every one of the parables, not one of the parables ask, were you a born again Christian? Hey, foolish virgins, wise virgins, are you Christians? What kind of Christian are you? That was never brought up about a religion. It was never brought up about the man that was beaten up in the street. Well, you know, are you a Pharisee? Were you a Jew? Are you Christian? Do you speak in tongues? Do you manifest demons? Are you Hindu? You know, so let me ask you this question. Today's Christianity of religion would basically ask that question, because if you're Hindu, then what we do is we'd say, full of demons, I'm not getting near you. No one from against me would prosper. And Jesus would be like, oh my God, what is wrong with you people? Because he would be like, you're so far away from my word that I spoke. Did you not hear what I said? Because the man in the street was not asked that question. Because he's a human being with a heart that is beaten up. And he is saying, no, you go. I don't care if they're whatever they're doing. He doesn't say, if they're Hindu, be careful. Watch your back. There's a demon behind their ear. Be careful. The spirit of so-and-so is upon them. The spirit of Gehenna is upon them. The spirit of, you know, Jezebel is upon them. I mean, you know, all this stuff, folks, that you make up in the charismatic move is only harming yourself and destroying the reputation of Christ. I'm going to be blunt about this, because I'm not here to make a mega ministry to give you theatrics. I'm here to tell you what's real biblically, what we hold high in esteem from the Word of God. And that is whosoever. Well, those who are demons are not whosoever. Those who are Buddhists are not the whosoever. Whosoever. Right? Whosoever means that if someone's in the street, if someone's starving, if someone's in need, if somebody needs something, it doesn't matter if they're Christian or Buddhist or hate Jesus, or if they love Satan, or if they don't even believe in either one of them. The idea is human being is in the street in pain, hurting. You go to them and you say, oh my gosh, let me put you up in this hotel. You don't turn around and say, well, you know what? I'm not supposed to give money to those that are not outside the sheepfold. I don't need to be paying money to house this man who, you know, who might be Buddhist. My money goes to the Church of God. Hallelujah. You know, Jesus literally would be like, who are you? You don't serve me. You're serving some other made up Jesus, because that's not who I am. Because he didn't ask what they are, who they are. He says, look, if someone's in pain, you do it. If someone's in jail, you don't even ask them, now have you asked Jesus as your Lord and Savior before I come and give you the clothes off my back? Before I come and talk to you or feed you, you know, have you accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior? Jesus, once again, would look and say, I didn't say that. Quit putting words in my mouth. You're making up a gospel that doesn't exist. Don't do that. What I say to you is you go and visit those in prison. You go and feed those that are hungry. You go and clothe those that need clothing. Don't make up your demon theology about the understanding that maybe they have demons or maybe they're doing this. You don't make it. What you need to be doing is pulling in that type of presence of we serve. And so the servanthood is knowing that we're called to serve. And so this is the things I want to talk to you guys at the end of the podcast, because I want you to understand the difference between what we call the world and secularism and how they think and feel. And from that is where you've got to begin to move into that place of really knowing what it looks like as you know, the difference of how you act and how you respond. And so through that, you've got to begin to understand, okay, so as a Christian, how do I respond to people that come against me? Well, it's easy. How you respond to people that don't like you, whatever, is you show them love. Love and grace is the message of the kingdom. And so because of that, that's what I'm talking about on this podcast, is knowing the difference between what is considered, you know, someone who doesn't like you versus someone who just doesn't know what you believe, or someone who doesn't understand, or maybe they don't believe like you. So because of that, you've got to begin to look at that and say, okay, now I need to dissect and to know exactly where a person stands in my life, but it doesn't mean I don't serve and help them or protect them or show them love or put them up in a hotel room type of thing like the scripture talks about in the parables. This is where you've got to begin to understand, folks. The world is not your problem. Individual people can be your problem, but the world is not your problem. Jesus never spoke on that. What your problem is understanding that you're not serving because you have a church agreement that basically says, and your thinking says, if it's a Christian, I do that unto them. But if you're not a Christian, I got to be able to dissect who they are, what they believe, where they are, and everything else. And yet that's a made-up gospel. And so you want to begin to pull into your life that reality of understanding the fullness of the kingdom. And that is, you do it to the least of these, and then you've done it unto me. Because once again, there's no question, well, do they have a demon God? Well, do they love you, Father? That's not the question. Jesus never said that. And your power, folks, as a Christian, comes from serving. Your power as a Christian doesn't always come from... Now, are there times where we need to... When we do need to come against things? Sure, there are. Are there times we need to, you know, basically speak no evil, as, you know, as the old saying is, speak no evil, see no evil? Yeah, sure. But the understanding is, there's a time and a place for everything. But when it deals with serving, you serve. And so that's the key thing I want to bring up today, is understanding what we call the church agreement. And the church agreement is basically opening up that door to begin to let you know, are you doing what is asked of you? Because when you get out of those four walls, are you able to bring in what you were taught? And to know, I'm here to serve people. And if it triggers you to say, I'm here to serve the world, then don't say that, because the world is a system. Jesus made it plain, the world is a system. It's not human beings, folks. Human beings are not the world. The world is a systematic way where the Bible says, you know, he's the prince of the power of the air. That's the system. The system is the thinking process, but it doesn't mean it's human beings. Human beings as a whole have pain and sadness and joy and sorrow. They hurt. And that's why Jesus said, you think about people as human beings, by serving, by loving, by greeting, by going the extra mile, giving them a shirt off the back, because you're not serving the world, you're serving people. And there needs to be more sermons on this type of message in church, to where a lot of you won't think that the world are the people outside the church. That's not true. Or the world is you know, are people who don't go to church, or the world is people who are not Christian people. That's not true. The world is a system in which it's ran, and that system is a system that we have to understand and bring the diversity between them and humanity. People need you. And we're called to serve and clothe and protect. And so take your church agreement and rip it up. Take your church agreement and rip it up. Take what's blocking you from empowering yourself and destroy that blockage. And when you do, you will find that what you're learning in church and what you need to be doing in church is exactly what you need to be doing when you step out of that church. There's no change, because people are people. Whether they know Christ or don't know Christ, people are people. And knowing that what you get in church, rip up your agreement and say, I don't have an agreement with church. I have an agreement with humanity, because my covenant's with God, and that covenant tells me, according through to the Son Jesus, tells me to feed, to clothe, to visit, to pick up, to take care of. And that's why he brought it even further to say, hey, love your neighbor. Well, what if they're not Christian? Love your neighbor. Love your neighbor. Well, you know, that person, they did me dirty, and that person is a heathen straight from the pits of hell. Well, guess what I'm telling you today? Love thy enemy. Love thy enemy. So see, you know why? Because Jesus knew how to differentiate between the world and humanity. Humanity saying, you don't hate anyone. You don't even hate your enemy. And you love all people as if they're your neighbors. Doesn't mean you have to sort of, you know, allow them to beat you up. No. Know the difference between your boundaries. Absolutely. That's just reality. But realize that people are people. And Jesus knew the difference. Unfortunately, a lot of us in the church today don't know the difference, because we're not taught properly to understand that being taught properly says that you've got to know the difference between world and people. People are not the world. The world's a system, not people, right? People fight against their own vain imaginations to cast them down. And us as Christian people are here to teach the world, for example, teach humanity how to cast down vain imaginations, how to have the renewed mind of Christ, what Christ will offer, what Christ will do for you, to where you have hope and a bright future. That's what we're called to do. And so I want to bring that to you today, to where you understand, tear up your agreement. Don't be so religious. Don't be so traditional. And don't set up these things that are such theories that are really destroying and tarnishing the truth of loving people, right? Don't like the system at all, but yet you love people. So I hope this message was able to help you guys today. And my book of the month this month is Creating Effective Ministry. I want to encourage each and every one of you right now to go to the website and sign up. You can't go right now and buy the book or the ebook because it's not out yet. We've now locked it to only to our Hot of the Press Month of Book Club people. And so what you want to do is go to the website. You want to sign up for the Hot Off the Press Monthly Book Club. And when you do, we'll send you the book and the ebook right then and there. All right, and you won't have to wait and say, man, I wish I had that book, because you won't get it if you're not on the program. So make sure you're on the program. So go today, sign up, Hot Off the Press Monthly Book Club on identitynetwork.net, and you will save shipping every month. You'll get the book before anybody else will, because no one else can, and we'll send you the ebook free of charge to your email, and you'll get it autographed. How cool is that, folks? So sign up today, all right? So as I close, I'm going to close like I always do and say it this way. If you don't like your day, folks, I have great news for you. Change your thoughts, and you'll change your life. God bless.
This has been the Thoughts Become Things podcast with Jeremy Lopez, helping you reach your highest creative potential that God has for you. For more episodes, products, and information on Jeremy, visit www.identitynetwork.net.